Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz, and in this episode, I will be talking about The Reach. I'll be discussing some of the notable people, places, and historical events that happen in the garden and breadbasket of Westeros. Before I start the discussion, there are a couple of things to note. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read the novels in the A Song of Ice and Fire saga. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows that may be adapted by Max in the future. So if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, this will not be a definitive episode of everything about The Reach, as there really is a lot of information about all the notable houses mentioned in the novels, and the additional information written by George R. Martin and collected by various fans, including the contributors of Westeros.org. Throughout the season of the Westerosi Primer, I will be using information gathered from the novel series Westeros.org, The World of Ice and Fire, and The Lands of Ice and Fire. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. The Reach is understandably a land with plenty of people living in it due to the fertile and bountiful crops grown there. To the west is the Sunset Sea. Northwest is the Westerlands. To the east and southeast are the Stormlands. To the south is Dorne. Famously, the Rose Road links Old Town to King's Landing, and the Ocean Road links Highgarden to Lannisport. The Manda River is a large and very important river that flows in the Reach. As mentioned in Episode 2, House Manderly has ties to the lands of the Reach as indicated by their name. The Honey Wine is another important river which starts near Brightwater Keep and ends at Old Town. There are also islands of note in the Reach. The Four Shield Islands act as warnings for any suspicious ships, like that of the Ironborn, approaching the wealthy lands of the Reach. The Arbor is another important island famous for its wine, the Arbor Gold, which is mentioned mentioned quite a bit in the novels and often drunk by characters in the TV show. Before the Targaryens flew over the skies of Westeros, House Gardener ruled the Reach. Stories say it began with a king called Garth Greenhand. Centuries later, many noble houses of the Reach claim they descend from Garth Greenhand. Chivalry and rules and tournaments were created in the Reach. Like the Stormlanders, Reachmen fought with the Dornish over territory for centuries. Very little has changed in that respect, considering how the Dornish are still viewed with some disdain. As happened in the other kingdoms, House Gardener lost their crown when the dragons arrived. Though unlike the other former kings, House Gardener was extinguished in the infamous Field of Fire. House Tyrell gained where House Gardener burned to ash in the wind. House Tyrell began as stewards to the gardeners of Highgarden. When King Mern the Ninth and his gardener kin died in the Field of Fire, Harlan Tyrell surrendered the castle to Aegon. In return, he was named Lord Paramount and Warden of the South, despite other noble houses having stronger claims to the former throne of the Reach. The Tyrells still feel some degree of inferiority over the fact that they didn't have this ancient right to their position, unlike other houses. This results in a lot of politics that happens within the Reach. In the TV show, we know Lady Olenna, Mace Tyrell, and his two children, Loras and Margaery. However, the novels included additional members of this house. Mace's wife, Allery, is very much alive. He also has two older sons than Loras, Willis and Garland. This, I suspect, means that House Tyrell will have some different endings to their storylines in the books due to the fact these two older sons exist. They likely have bigger roles to play than what happened in the TV show. As I mentioned in episode 2, they have an interesting connection with other houses via Allery Tyrell, formerly Hightower. I'll soon talk a bit more about the Hightowers. House Florent of Brightwater Keep is a noble house of the Reach. They claim descent from House Gardener, and they also claim descent from Garth Greenhand through their ancestor Floris the Fox, daughter of Garth Greenhand. This is why their sigil features a fox. One interesting thing to note is that there isn't much discussion of this house in the TV show, which, as I mentioned in the previous episode, is a shame, because this family has some interesting connections worth mentioning. As we know, and as I explained a bit in the previous episode, Stannis' wife, Selyse, is a Florent. Their one child is the unfortunate Shireen. Selyse's deceased father is actually one of four brothers. His eldest brother, Lord Alistair Florent, has three children, one of whom is a daughter named Melissa. She married a lord named Randall Tarly. And if that name is familiar to you Game of Thrones viewers, you'll recall that Jon Snow's best friend, Samwell, is a Tarly. In fact, he is the son of Randall and Melissa, which means when Stannis and his family were at the Wall, they were also there with their second cousin, Samwell. Bit of a shame, in my opinion, that this familial relationship was never included or noted in the show. Another interesting story I'll mention before I move to the next house is about another branch of the Florent family. Another one of Selyse's uncles is Sir Colin Florent. Of his three children is a daughter named Delina. I mention her specifically because at Stannis and Selyse's wedding, the newly wedded couple headed off to their bedchambers to consummate their marriage. Unfortunately, they discover that a drunken Robert is having sex with a woman who is definitely not his wife, Cersei. He was, in fact, having relations with Selyse's maiden cousin, Delina. And then 9 months later, she has a baby named Edric. And if this name sounds familiar, I mentioned him in the previous episode when I talked about a boy named Edric Storm being raised at Storm's End. House Tarly is a noble house of the Reach. They claim descent from House Gardener as well. They claim they are descendants of Garth Greenhand through his two sons, who loved a wood witch, who lived with them in a castle they built called Hornhill. And as mentioned in the TV show, they do have a Valyrian steel sword called Heartsbane. They live in the Dornish Marches. I already discussed what the Dornish Marches are in the previous episode. Of course, the most notable members of this house are Samwell Tarly and his father Randall. As I mentioned just before, Sam's mother was a Florent. Interestingly, Randall Tarly was one of the only people who defeated Robert in battle during Robert's rebellion. House Hightower of Old Town is another noble house of the Reach. They are among the oldest families, as they also claim descent from Garth Greenhand through one of his children. As we saw in House of the Dragon, their house words are, "We light the way." They have a Valyrian steel sword named vigilance. Their castle is called the High Tower. They are also major supporters of the Faith of the Seven, which again, we also see evidence in House of the Dragon. The High Tower, as the name suggests, is a fortress that famously has a large signal tower. The flame can change to green color to signify a call to arms, which we saw references in Episode 5 of House of the Dragon Season 1. As mentioned in Episode 2, there are claims the High Tower was built by Bran the Builder. Old Town is one of the five great cities of Westeros. Aside from the High Tower, this city is also famous for two other important buildings, the Citadel and the Starry Sept. The Citadel is actually a complex of buildings where all maesters get their training. It is, in essence, a university in Westeros. The Citadel receives funding from Old Town's taxes and fees paid by lords for the services of their maesters. Maesters regularly make their appearances in the novels and the TV shows. The Starry Sept is basically a cathedral for the Faith of the Seven. This sept hosted many major ceremonies, including coronations of kings in Westeros, until later the Sept of Baelor was constructed in King's Landing. There are, of course, many notable high towers throughout Westerosi history. I previously mentioned two sisters, Allery and Lyanna, marrying into House Tyrell and Mormont, respectively. We, of course, are familiar with more members of House Hightower in House of the Dragon. House Beesbarry of Honeyhold is another noble house in the Reach, who also claims descent from Garth Greenhand. They have First Men origins as well. There have been a few notable members of House Beesbarry mentioned in Westerosi history. However, the most notable one to you listeners is Lord Lyman Beesbarry, who was the master of coin for Jaehaerys I and King Viserys I. As you would remember from House of the Dragon, he tragically is killed by Criston Cole for refusing to recognize Aegon as the king over his sister Rhaenyra. Suffice it to say, his house sided with her in the dance. House Redwyne of the Arbor is another old house descended from Garth Greenhand. As mentioned earlier, they rule the Arbor, which is famous for its wine. Also as an island holding, the Redwynes have a notable armada of ships, both for war and trade. Of course, there have been many Redwynes participating in various events in Westerosi history, but the most notable ones are, of course, included in Game of Thrones. Before her marriage, Olenna Tyrell was Olenna Redwyne. Her nephew, Paxter Redwyne, is the Lord of the Arbor. He marries Olenna's daughter, Mina Tyrell. They and their children appear in the novels, but not in the TV show. And that just about covers the basics of who's who in the Reach. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself about any of these houses and other people and places I didn't discuss in this episode, feel free to go to the full show notes, where I will have links. Though be aware, if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels and some possible material covered in the future seasons of House of the Dragon. Thank you for listening, and tune into the next episode, where we travel to a region famous for its wealthy gold mines. They certainly need the riches from those mines to pay off their debts.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.